Cohen, Marston & Anderson, LLC. How may I help you?
Extension 198, please.
Hello, this is Ryan.
Mr. Anderson, this is Kimberly Moore of the Federal Circuit. We're calling you to participate in oral argument today. Are you prepared to move forward?
I am.
Okay. I call then case 2012-1550, In Re Brad Boozer. Mr. Anderson, you may begin.
May it please the court, this is Ryan Anderson from Larson & Anderson. I am here today on behalf of Palin. As first matter, I'd like to acknowledge a debt of gratitude to this court for providing the present accommodations in view of the travel situation of yesterday. In order to establish a prima facie case for obviousness based upon a theory of routine optimization of the prior art, the USPTO needs to meet a two-prong analysis. The first prong of the analysis is that the USPTO must demonstrate that the claim parameter in question is disclosed in the prior art. The second prong of the analysis is the USPTO must demonstrate that the claim parameter is a result-effective variable that will lend itself to optimization. With regard to the first prong of the analysis, the USPTO, again, must demonstrate that the claim parameter range is disclosed in the art. To do this, we need to determine what the present claims say and what the prior art says. The present claims require a functionally and numerically significant shortening of the container wall so that the test strips disposed in the container can be individually manipulated and removed from the container. And now we need to look at what the prior art says. The only case for
Mr. Anderson
cited against the present case.
Mr. Anderson.
Mr. Anderson. Hold on. Judge Lynn has a question for you.
Yes. Is there anything critical in the angle of the wall? In other words, if in the claim it calls for between the angle being 50-80%, is there anything critical to that angle?
That's actually not the angle. That's specifically the length of the container compared to the length of the test strip. That does provide an angle, but the 50-80% is the length of the container.
Yes, you're right. I stand corrected. But you see what my point is. It leads to an angularity, and the question I have is whether there's anything critical to those dimensions.
With regard to critical, the shortening provides the ability of the user to manipulate the test strips. The test strips stick out of the container. Okay, and that provides the ability with the user to physically manipulate the test strips so that they can remove one from the vial. Otherwise, without that shortening, if that shortening were not significant, to provide that effect, the user would then dump the test strips into the palm of their hand or onto the table, remove the single test strip, and return the rest of the test strips to the vial.
But I mean, the dimensions there, making the wall difference larger or smaller may have some impact on how convenient it might be to get to the test strips, but my question is there anything critical about how much of a difference there should be? I mean, the bigger the difference it would seem to be, the easier it would be to get the strips out, but that's about as obvious as it comes.
Well, I think with regard to whether we're required to provide evidence of criticality, or non-obviousness, we're not required to provide that type of evidence until the USPTO has established a prima facie case for obviousness.
But isn't the prima facie...
Deeds actually made the point of we need to be really careful when we're talking about simple technology. Okay, once you have a problem and solution put next to each other, then, well, sometimes the solution becomes evident.
But doesn't the reference itself establish a prima facie case because it does show the front wall being lower than the back wall?
It does, but not with respect to the test strip, and that's what's presently claimed. It does show figure four, it does show that there is a slanted opening, but then the test strip is not sticking out of the container. And the only place in Sarsour that it discloses the length of the test strip compared to the length of the wall is column two, line 30 to about 33. It says, in practice, the length of the holder is selected such that it is not significantly larger or smaller than the test strip. Okay, the USPTO says that provides the general conditions of the claims because the USPTO contends Sarsour discloses the test strip vial can be merely smaller than the test strip. But that's not what Sarsour discloses. Sarsour discloses that the test strip holder is not significantly larger or smaller than the test strips. Okay, and we need to consider not significantly, and the USPTO has not considered those, and instead what we propose and what the person of ordinary skill in the art would do is they look to the dictionary definitions of significantly. Okay, it has no effect, it's not important. Okay, the present claims do not fall within that range. Okay, the presently claimed limitations provide an effect. It is important. Moving on to the second prong of the analysis, which the USPTO must meet in order to establish prima facie case for obviousness, is that the USPTO must demonstrate that the claim parameter range is a result effective variable. The USPTO has not done that. The USPTO instead says that the result to get to the claimed wall height range is to reduce material of construction. Okay, if one were to optimize Sarsour, or Sarsour were to optimize his disclosure to reduce material by reducing the wall height, the test strips would stick out of the container, and the lid would not close with the container. And that is required by Sarsour for his test strip vial to operate correctly. The sealing interaction of Sarsour is between the underside of his lid and the orifice of the container. And when you make the test strip vial shorter than the test strip, you're going to hit the lid of the container, preventing it from closing. If you were to design around that or optimize around that, you would need to increase the travel room of the test strip into the container space. Okay, if you were to do that, then you would be taking material from the reduction of the wall height and adding it to the lid to increase the travel room into the lid. Doesn't meet the stated goal, the stated result of reducing material. Okay, it's not a result effective variable. The last point I would like to make is that with regard to the not significantly shorter, longer caveat contained in Sarsour, the USPTO hasn't considered that. They merely say that applicants adopt a narrow show for them what that is, other than to merely say it can't be shorter. Well, that's not good enough. The search word needs to be considered as a whole for everything it teaches. It contains the words not significantly, and that's important. With regard to those words, that provides a teaching away from the present invention. The present invention, like I said, requires a significant shortening of the container wall, and Sarsfjord teaches that it cannot be a significant difference.
Mr. Anderson, you're running into your rebuttal time. You may continue to proceed, or would you like to save it?
I'll save it.
Okay. We'll hear from the government now. Ms. Simpson. And if Mr. Anderson, if you have any trouble hearing, just type up and let us know and we'll ask you to speak up.
Okay. May it please the court. The prior...
Louder.
Oh, thank you. May it please the court. The prior art in this case teaches a test strip container. It teaches that this test strip container can have an oblique opening, and it teaches, therefore, that it can have a high wall and a low wall. It also teaches that the holder of the test strip container can be shorter than the test strip. What appellants here are seeking to claim, the reason that they're arguing it's different than the prior art, is that it claims a particular percentage lower than the test strip. The board properly found that this was obvious based on the teachings in the prior art and in particular Sarcher. It found in Sarcher that the holder of the test strip container could be shorter than the test strip, and it also explained why the height of the holder could be optimized as a result effective variable. These holdings are very clearly laid out in both the original and in the rehearing decision.
What result is being discussed in Sarcher about the difference in the height of the walls?
What the board was relying on was the teaching in Sarcher. It's right around the same phrase that if you look at in Sarcher on A349, and it's the phrase that's talking about not significantly higher or lower than the height of the test strip. And the board interpreting this sentence concluded that Sarcher was indicating a preference for minimizing the amount of material being used, and their reasoning is that adjusting the height of the wall would result in less material.
Well, what does that have to do with convenience in terms of accessing the test strips? Because it seems to me that, you know, making the rear wall higher, making the front wall lower, affects the convenience of removing the test strips, but you can eliminate waste of material by making the rear wall lower and the front wall higher. I mean, any way you remove material is a savings of material. So I just don't know how saving material relates in any way to convenience of access by a differentiation between the front and rear wall.
Your Honor, I think what happened here is that the examiner and the board identified a different motivation for lowering the height of the wall. And it may turn out that ends up being convenient or not, but what they were holding is that one of ordinary skill would be elected to try and seek an optimization for this particular reason, reducing the amount of material used.
I mean, it seems to me if Sarcher had said something like, the opening is at an angle to provide convenience of access, and the angle could be any desired angle based on the desired result or something of that sort, then that's absolutely crystal clear that that's a result-oriented variable. But Sarcher doesn't say a word about that. It only talks about, you know, it can be longer or shorter depending on whether you want to save material.
I think following the teachings in KSR, the the obviousness case doesn't need to follow the exact same line of reasoning that the inventor in this case followed. So while Sartor may not have drawn that direct comparison, Sartor does talk about wanting to reduce the amount of material. And either route could end up leading to the same place, and that's what the board found and then concluded that the claims would be obvious.
I mean, I guess what I'm getting at is it seems to me that the line of cases dealing with result-oriented variables doesn't clearly apply here. It seems to me this is a little bit different. And I sort of sense, reading between the lines, that the Patent Office is really arguing that, well, this is just an obviousness case based on KSR. It's just a matter of common sense, and anybody would know that if you want to get access more easily, you just make the angle a little bit more.
I think post-KSR results effective variable line of cases are just a subset of obviousness cases, so they're another way of phrasing the inquiry you're supposed to make under KSR.
Yeah, I agree, and I think that's the point I'm trying to make, because it seems to me that perhaps the board and the office may have elected to focus the arguments on this narrow subset of obviousness, the result-oriented variable line of cases, when that really doesn't quite fit, because the result-oriented issue is not set forth in the reference. That you may have been, the board might have been better served by addressing the question of obviousness in the broadest sense according to KSR and not in the narrower result-oriented variable sense.
And I think in this case, either logic could apply. And I think reading the results-effective variable line of cases broadly in light of KSR gets you to the same place that maybe perhaps a more straightforward analysis under KSR would do as well.
If we were of the view that the result-oriented variable cases don't apply here and the reasoning of the board was not appropriate, but yet the claimed invention appears to be obvious in light of Sartor under a broader reading of KSR, do we have a Chenery problem affirming on that basis?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because I think the factual findings on this record that the board made are also pretty clear. That would allow obviousness as a legal conclusion to be based on the grounds that were broadly laid out by the board.
I wonder why the Patent Office didn't cite another reference, like maybe I'm showing my age here, but the Marlboro box, flip-top box, to get cigarettes out of the box more easily because it's inclined?
Yes, Your Honor. We have the record we have. But
And that's your problem, though.
Yes, Your Honor, except that. I think between the teachings of Sartor with its opening cut at an oblique angle and the fact that it talks about the test strips can actually be shorter than the height of the holder, between the two of those and the explanation that's actually been provided by the board for wanting to reduce it, that is sufficient. Perhaps there's a better reference out there, but this one still does the job with that reasoning. If the board has no further questions, I will yield the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Ms. Simpson. Mr. Anderson, you have some rebuttal time.
Thank you very much. With regard to Judge Ring's comment regarding whether a proper analysis would have been an application of strictly KSR without using the routine optimization line of cases, well, I would submit that no, even in view of Sartor, you have a teaching that the wall height is not significantly lower than the test strip. Therefore, the Marlboro, the cigarette not provide that limitation. And the cigarette bars is a cubicle item. It's not cut at an oblique angle, which the present claims require. You have a box, and then you have an opening, and et cetera. But more importantly, we have the record we have. The USPTO has indicated and misapplied the result effect, the variable in cases, as well as the mere optimization of case law, mere optimization of the prior art. These finding cases require the identification of where the variable is disclosed in the art, and two, that it's a result-effective variable. It is not a result-effective variable, according to Sarcher. The USPTO hasn't identified otherwise. Instead, I would submit that the analysis made by the USPTO is a post facto analysis. They looked at the present invention and said, well, that's got to be obvious. And they turned around and then only tried to figure out why it would be obvious. The answer? Routine optimization. Let's shorten the wall by reducing, and therefore we reduce material, and that's got to be it. And that's what they put forth is not correct. And applicants request this court to overturn the USPTO's decision.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Anderson. I thank both counsel for the argument. The case is submitted. This concludes our day, so I'm going to hang up on you now, Mr. Anderson, okay?
Thank you very much.
Very good.